Alessandra. I know exactly. Just testing. Please, come. We have been blessed to have you in our church and to spend time together and get to know you. So just feel at home. Okay. Be free.
Thank you so much. Yes, you are, my love. Woohoo! Where's everybody else? Who was not here yesterday? Raise your hand. Okay, just two people. Okay, four. One, two, three, four, five. Okay. Okay, everybody else was here. That's it.
All right. How are you guys doing?
Are you missing somebody that was here yesterday and they're not here right now? You guys remember. Yeah, you're thinking about some people that didn't come yet? Lord, just bring them in, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh Father. Satan, you're not stealing no word today in Jesus' name. Lord, just help them to be here in Jesus' name.
Amen. Yes. In one piece, because you know what? You are a young church, you have a bunch of kids, and sometimes it's hard to get out of the house with all those kids.
Yes.
To get them ready, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, we had a homework last night. How many of you guys did the homework?
Yeah, raise your hand.
Let's see. Yeah.
What? Some people didn't do it.
How come?
Wow. All right.
So, guys, was it easy? Yeah.
Yes.
No. Yeah. Awesome.
That's awesome.
Okay.
Very
anybody
good.
Found some roadblocks?
Yeah.
Did you?
Okay. All right.
The roadblocks is good that we can talk more.
Yes.
So, but that's what it is, guys. We need to start exercising. Maybe some of you are here and you did not have your spouse here. You know, whatever God spoke with you, whenever you go back home, just make a time to talk to your spouse. Yes. Just don't tell them, oh, that's what you should be doing. No. Said, you know, honey, God spoke with me and I think I'm not being doing so well in this area. I want to ask forgiveness. I want to step up to the plate and I want to start doing this, you know, because this will mean a lot for them.
Yes.
Because sometimes they are seen, but you're not doing anything. And whenever you come and do such a thing, you talk to them about that, they will have an open heart. Yes. They say, wow. And they will be going to be open to change also. You know, because sometimes we are good to come and listen to something and we are with our spouse. See what he's saying? Yeah, that's for you. That's for you. And you know what? Don't do that.
That's right.
Whatever we say here, don't do that. Yeah. You're going to be tempted, but just hold on your hands there.
Let the Holy Spirit speak. That's good.
Because when the Holy Spirit speaks, let them deal with the Holy Spirit. It's not going to be us.
Amen.
So, okay.
Does anybody want to share anything that happened with the homework or last night, whatever, through the message? Does anybody want to share? We heard some good testimonies yesterday already. And, okay, we're not going to open up here unless they are ready to open up. Anybody want to share a little something? No? One? Yes, there you go.
Okay.
Two already. Okay.
All right. Don't take the mic. Take the mic.
Well, you guys were talking on the Thursday about, like, the flowing out. Like, you know, when you deal with stuff at home from top level, it flows down. So this morning, as a result, like, we had a bit of a discussion on Thursday night, work through some things. And then this morning, you know, either my kids, like, love each other or they don't love each other. But this morning, it was so sweet. I haven't seen them do this before. But they're like, sister, I have a secret to tell you. And they're like, I love you. And they're like,
wow.
And so it really felt like I haven't seen them do that before. And it was like, okay, we took care of some things. And then it was like, wow. See our kids like.
See, come from the head.
Blessing
wow, that's amazing.
Down. Love it.
Yeah.
One more there. Yep.
I'll just do it from here.
Yeah, fine.
Good morning. We did it and it was great. So. But that's not what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is just last night listening and just how you were taking authority and just saying, like, Satan, no way. You have no room. You have no place. Get lost. And so 3 years ago, we came to a conference. I tried to get here. I got T-boned. I didn't make it here. This morning, I leave from work just now. My van won't start. And, you know, I figure it out. I have a battery booster. I start it up. And then I remembered 3 years ago. And I just took authority as I was driving. And I'm just like, I'm getting there. It doesn't matter.
Wow.
Get out of my face.
Yes,
get out of my way.
Yes.
I'm coming here because the Lord has something for me today.
Amen. That's good.
So, yeah.
Thanks, for sharing. Remember, authority was given to us. Jesus did that. He said, my authority, I give it to you. So you have it, right? But here's the thing. Authority will only flow when you are walking with the Lord. Remember our friend from Viva that he wanted to take authority and Satan is like, what are you doing? And the Holy Spirit says, get the sin fixed first, and then authority is restored. So remember, sin separates us. So always, Lord, what am I doing? Is there anything, any sin in my life? Just tell me, because we don't want to be separated from God. We don't want to give Satan any room in our life, in our families. No way. Very good. Thanks for sharing
Very
that.
Good,
Amen.
Yeah.
Awesome. Mm. Come on, let's give God the glory. He's only worth it. Thank you. Get ready. I was thinking here, just why don't we hold hands?
If you have your spouse
yes.
with you,
hold hands.
If you're not, just in you and the Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
You and the Lord.
Yes.
You know, and let's just surrender this day
yes.
to the Lord and be open to the Holy Spirit, what yes. He wants to say.
Speak, oh God.
Because remember, it's just one little thing, one little change, and a lot of change is going to happen.
Yes, oh God.
So, Father, we just surrender this day to you, Father, everything that you're going to speak here. We pray for the anoint of your Holy Spirit, Lord, in this place, Lord, over our lives. So, Father, Holy Spirit, we want to be open and have a soft heart that
yes,
you can
oh God.
Speak, Lord, and we'll make the change, Lord.
Yes.
Father, we just surrender our marriages, our families to you, Father. And we pray, Father God, and we ask
in
that we want to improve,
name,
Lord, with your help, Father God. We don't want to live here, Father, in the same way that we came in. Yes. But we want to, Lord, hear from you and be transformed by
yes,
your power,
oh
Father. So, Lord, we thank you for this time, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Okay, so we are going to be continuing on the topic that we started yesterday, that put your house in order, remember? So tell to your neighbor there, put your house in order.
Put your house in order.
Put your house in order.
Yes,
we need to. So to restore order in our marriage and family, we need to identify the things we are doing that are not aligned with God's word. Because sometimes you are just doing things and you are not seeing if you align with the God's word or not, but you keep on doing. So we need to start. That's a good reset button that we are having here in the weekend. So now I'm going to start paying attention on that. Number two, we need to take responsibility for our actions. Whenever we do something wrong, I'm going to take the responsibility. Yes, I did. Can you forgive me? So repent and ask for forgiveness. So every time that you take responsibility, make sure that you ask for forgiveness. Repent and ask for forgiveness. You know, because sometimes the other person, our spouse, is not going to say anything, but we are going to leave the room and the Holy Spirit is going to start talking to us. You know, so don't harden your heart. Whenever the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, just go back and make things ready, make things right. We need to release forgiveness. And if the person came to you and asked for forgiveness, don't hold back. You know, oh, you always do that and start just pointing fingers. Don't do it. Just receive and forgive the person, because that's what we need to do. Okay? Was given free to us, you just need to give free to them, to forgiveness. Implement the things we learn. So everything that you are learning here, guys, if you're just learning and not putting practice, there's going to be one more thing that you know. So we need to start putting practice what we are learning and change the way we behave. We need to change. You know, things that we are doing. Remember, I think I did this on a Thursday, or I don't know if I did yesterday, about cross your arms. Was Thursday, yeah? So if you cross your arms, I ask you to cross your arms, it's just natural. Now if I ask you to cross the other way, I need to think. It's not natural for me. How am I going to do this? You know? So we need to pay attention and change the things that we need to. You know, because something is just automatic in us. Whenever somebody says something, we scream or give a hard answer, and we need to start thinking about. So successful marriage and healthy family will not happen by accident. You're just not going to wake up or live here today in your marriage. Oh, it's amazing. My family is just amazing. It's not going to happen. I wish, but you know, we don't have that power. So it doesn't happen by accident. It will require effort and change. Sometimes small little changes doesn't need to be a big one. If you don't want to change, or it will not happen. So are you willing to change? Are you? That's the answer that I'm making you a question that I'm making you. Can you answer that? Am I really changed? We need you. So hold your spouse's hand right now and look them in the eye. You know you're not saying to. And if you don't have your spouse, yeah, just you and God. Look to God. Yes. You know? And declare to them and to the Lord, I'm willing to change and do my part. And do my part. Amen.
Guys, you're so low, so slow there, so didn't hear. Tell them, look in the eye, be like really strong.
Do you?
I'm willing to change and I'm willing to do my part. You gotta declare, guys. It's us really getting the Holy Spirit moving in us. Yes, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Yeah, I see somebody texting to the wife. That's great. You can do that.
Because if her spouse is not here, uh-huh, yes.
Just do it. Just do it, you know? So yesterday we were talking about putting our house in order regarding unity.
Yes.
That's the first main block there. Unity starts with unity. We just heard there she's saying, sharing with us that they had a conversation the night before and things start changing their lives with the family already. Yes. The kids are reaping the effect of the blessing that starts on the head. So that's unity. And we need to walk in unity. Amen? So today we want to talk about putting our house in order in our roles. That's a big thing there that we need to know. When roles are out of order, it's almost impossible to walk in unity. Because lack of order in the roles generates frustration. Frustration leads to offense, and offense breaks unity, isn't it? Amen.
So I don't know if your handout has any of this. This was just a little intro wrapping up. I don't know where you are there, but that's okay. So just listen to this. If the roles are out of order, it's going to be hard to keep the unity. Unity is your first pillar. But if roles are not in order, it will bring disunity immediately because you're going to be frustrated. You're not doing what you need to do. No, you're not doing what you need to do. And then I'm frustrated with you. Now I'm frustrated with you. Do you see it? So roles is the second pillar that brings order to the house. Roles. And roles, sometimes we hear, oh my goodness, this is a big word. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And roles will bring order. When there's order, flow is going to go. The flow of anointing is going to go down. And we're going to enjoy peace in our house. We're going to enjoy joy in our house. We're going to have the dreams being fulfilled. The purpose is being fulfilled. It's all going domino effect for a good way, for a good way. So first thing you need to know, God wants to bless your marriage. He doesn't want your marriage to be a disaster for you to just be having a horrible marriage. One day they're going to get to heaven and then enjoy life with Jesus. No, marriage is supposed to be blessed. He wants to bless you. When you do marriage God's way, roles in place, unity in place, things in place, what's going to happen? 100% chance of success. Oh, maybe 70%. No, 100. When you do God's way, He's going to bless you and 100% is going to go the way of the Lord. Does that make sense? The problem is not with the Lord. You got it? Just do this. Don't do this to the other person. The problem is here. Yes, yes. So today we'll look at three passages that addresses roles, okay? We're going to look at Genesis 2, Ephesians 5, and 1 Peter 3. Those are main ones for role. And you have all the texts there. Whatever the Lord speaks to you, write it down because we do have activities today. We're going to do in here. And we need you to be open for that moment. So let's read. Genesis 2, 23 to 24. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman." Woman. He was really enjoying when he saw Eve. "Because she was taken out of man." So woman means what? Taken out of man. Taken out of him. "Now therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Because she was taken out of man, a man is to leave father and mother and be joined to her. Because the purpose was never for them to be separated. But now the Lord brought it out. A helper came here. Now a man needs to go back to the wife. Do you get it? Why? So the one can be restored. The Lord said, you're one. That's the first passage on roles there. You are one. Look at this. This is how it is. We're going to do everything as one. So the first thing God created for mankind was what? marriage and family. That's the first thing. He created Adam, now marriage for you and family for you. That's the first thing you're going to have, Adam. This is so good. So do you think family is important for God? Yes, this is the first thing he made when he made mankind. Could he have created for Adam a mother? But he didn't. Hello, moms. Could he have created for Adam a friend? Do you need friends? Yes, but he didn't. The most important relationship on earth is here. Is here. That's the first one God made. Is it important, my relationship with my mother and father? Absolutely. They are the only ones that don't have father and mother earthly. They don't have. So do you see how important it is, the marriage? Do you get it already there? Your children will leave your house to be joined to their spouses. This is the family. What about the children? Addition to the family. They will go, but you will stay together until you die. This is the first thing you need to take care. I want my children to do well. If you are not doing well here, they're not going to do well because they will reap your problem, your sin in this level. Guys, watch out, watch out. Or God's original plan for marriage was that husband and wife would function as one, together. Through marriage, they became one. So we can conclude that marriage was designed to be an equal partnership. Tell your spouse, equal partnership.
Equal partnership.
Do you get it? Oh, no. No, that's not how it is. Yes, it is. In the beginning was planned to be what? We're one. If we're one, we're equal. We're doing everything the same. And in the New Testament, we're going to back this up for you guys to see. So before the fall, we already did a little bit of before the fall and after the fall yesterday, but we're going to continue here. This is the main story of humanity. This is where we go. Before the fall, there's no reference that shows Adam being over Eve. Is there? They were what? Say it loud. They were what? One. Okay. Eve being over Adam. Was Eve over Adam? Before the fall. We're not talking about the fall. One was not the boss of the other. One was not better than the other. One could not lord over the other. That's the beginning. That's the original plan. That's how God made it to be. Dominance and control from either husband and wife was never God's plan. Do you know why? Dominance and control breaks the main thing in marriage, unity. If I'm going to dominate you and I'm going to control everything you do, then the unity is not there anymore. Because the Lord say, you're one. You are one. So we're going to have to try to strive this. Just learn. Let's stir inside of you. Adam and Eve functioned as one, and that's how they lived until the fall. The fall messed up the original plan, as we know. Sin entered the world. Now men and women have a sin nature in them. The sin nature is in all of us. That's the way we're born now. They messed up. Now sin nature is in us. Sin was not there before the fall. Eve's sin nature. What's Eve's sin nature? Independence. Hello, ladies. Hello, ladies. Hello, Alessandra. Independence. That's the problem, girls. Let this sink in. Let this sink in. Independence. She did her will without consulting God, because God was walking with them every day. Let's go for a walk. How was this garden? Oh, did you see this animal today? Oh, that one. Oh, did you see this flower? God was with them. Supernatural and natural was one. There was no separation. Got it? The angels are walking around. They're doing whatever they need to do, worshiping the Lord. It was one. But then sin entered, and then she said, I don't want to do. I'm going to do my will. What about Adam? Adam was her husband. Did she communicate with Adam? Adam, what do you think? Adam, I was thinking, let's go eat this fruit. What do you think? This looks so good. Do you get it? She did her will, but didn't ask Adam or God. Even didn't ask, and she said, okay, let's do this. She started talking to the serpent and made her own decision to eat the fruit independently. Ladies, that's our problem. Independence, relational independence. She didn't ask God, the husband. That is Eve. Guess what? That's us. Many of us are doing the same thing. Independence.
Yeah, so for women was independence, and for the men's, Adam's sin nature was relational passivity. Mm-hmm. Okay, Men are passive, aren't you? Aren't we? I am sometimes that I just care less, you know? So Adam stood there seeing what was happening and did nothing. Mm-hmm. He was there walking with Eve, and he didn't do anything. And he knew that what God told, don't eat from the fruit of that tree. So he saw that serpent talking to his wife, and the wife talking back, and he did nothing. Maybe he just thought, wow, so good that she found somebody else to talk. And of course, she was talking, okay, let me have my time here and let her talk.
Oh,
you know?
Gosh. And
so at the moment, he should have fought the devil, protect his wife, and spoke to her. But he did nothing. And he knew what God told him to do. Say, hey, Eve, God told us, don't eat from that.
That's right.
But no, he was there just having a good time by just seeing her talk to a serpent.
Wow.
You know that women need to talk. You know, and if you don't talk to them, they're going to talk to a serpent.
Wow.
You know, so we need to be careful. We need to talk to our wives.
Yes.
They like to talk, and we need, you're the one. God put us with them to hear, to listen to them.
Very good.
Amen.
So, and all the women said, amen.
So he just stood there and did nothing. Actually, he did something. He ate the fruit because she gave to him and said, yeah, let me eat that. You know, if it was me, I was not going to eat. If it was a piece of meat, yes. But a fruit, especially an apple, that means that you're on a diet. So at the fall, both rebel against God.
That's right.
Both of them. She gave to him, and he was supposed to be the one protecting her, and he didn't do it. So now both of them ate the fruit and sin against God. They rebel against God. But what caused them to rebel was different. Wasn't the same thing that they rebel. Okay? So for the women, they rebelled was with the independence.
Yeah.
Because she didn't consult her husband or God. She just did what she wants to do it.
Yeah.
Talk to the serpent. Okay, I'm going to eat it. And for the man, he was rebelled with passivity. Because he didn't take care of his wife. She went there and did it, and he was just watching what she was doing. So, and that is why the curse God spoke over them was different. So it's not the same curse we're going to see on the Bible. Because each curse is addressing their specific gender sin nature.
Wow.
So God needs to address her independence and now on man, passivity. The curse of Eve addressed independence, and the curse of man, passivity.
Yeah.
So, Amor.
Yes, that's so good. Do you see how the curse is? Was the curse the same?
No.
You say, now from now on, boom, this. Well, they both had to leave the garden, right? They were what? Sent out. The Lord really is a kind of a rejection, expelling them from there, sending them out, and you can't. And then we know that it was closed. So here's the thing. Eve rebelled in one way, and Adam on the other way. So the curse addresses the sin nature in each of them. Let's see how that goes. Let's see the curse of Eve we saw yesterday. Then he said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth, and you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. This is addressing her independence, her sin nature, the independence that is in Eve, that is in the women. Before the fall, they didn't fight to be in control. Nobody fought to be in control before the fall. There's no record. That means it didn't happen. That's what he's saying there. Now, one will try to control the other. This is what he's saying. Because you are independent, did not ask your husband, did not come to me. You knew what you needed to do, but you could have, I'm just feeling this way. What should we do? No, Eve, we're not going to do that. No, my daughter, you're not going to do that. You're going to resist this desire now. But she independently just went and boom, did what she wanted. Let's see the curse for Adam. Genesis 3. Then Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of all of the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat the bread till you return to the ground. Wow, for out of it you were taken, for thus you are, and thus you shall return. So God is addressing in Adam here his passivity. He's saying, you are going to go to work now. You have to work now because you are passive. You're just there, relaxing, lazy, didn't do anything. This is serious, guys. This is serious. Now, what happens? This curse came there in the Adam, in the Garden of Eden. This is what, 6,000 years ago, whatever years there. But now what's happening? Jesus comes. Before the foundation of the universe, the plan for Jesus to come was already there, of course, because God knew. This is not a surprise to the Godhead. Okay, they're going to sin. We knew. So the plan of Jesus coming is what? Restoring us to the what? The original plan. He's saying, I'm going to come, God, myself, coming to restore you to the original plan. So God wants to do what? Bring us back to how it was in the beginning, before the fall, where Adam and Eve were what?
One.
Where Adam and Eve were one. But they still have to deal with the sin nature. When we accept Jesus in our hearts, is the sin nature dealt with? Tell me. Absolutely not. You still have temptation. Submit to God, resist the devil. You have all that, and he will flee. Right? There's a submitting. I have to control. I have to do this. I have to exercise this. I have to ask for forgiveness because we sin. So the sin nature is still in us. Even though the plan is to restore, so through Jesus we get restored, so we have to strive to go back, strive to go back, strive to do the unity, strive to do the oneness, strive to do equal partnership. Back, 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 through Jesus. By doing what? The only way is by crucifying the sin nature. I have a sin nature to be independent. It's so easy for me to just do whatever I want and then tell him, oh, I just did this. I just bought this. I just did this. I decorated this now. The kids are going to be in this program. Boom, 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 boom. This week, I'm going to, more you have to pick up the kids. Okay, that's right, your time. And just communicate him. Come on, ladies. Come on, ladies. This is so easy because we have that sin nature in us. For him, it's so easy to say, okay, take over, control everything. I don't care. Just tell him, be passive.
Tell me what to do.
Tell me what to do. But that's not what God is telling us to do. He's saying, no, don't go into this trap. This is a trap. Because then one is going to have to dominate the other. He's not going to like that I'm doing this. And he's going to try to rise up and say, no, and I'm going to control you, woman. And then I'm going to say, no, you're not going to control me. And do you see the fight? Boom, boom, boom. Buddy heads, boom, boom. Every day, every day, every day. And then once in a while you repent, but you're not living happy. Satan is taking advantage. And then we're there and we're thinking that we're doing well. And our kids are watching everything. Oh, mom rules the house. Who is the boss? Mom is the boss. Dad, just dad. You're not the boss. You just do whatever mom tells you to do. What? They need to know that you are godly people and that you uphold the word as the word is. So they need to feel we do things together. We decide together. Everything that I do, because he comes to me. What do you think about this? I need to go to him. What do you think about this? We're touching base. Let's do it together. So let's see now. We're going to read here the passages of the roles. Is it there in the New Testament? Yes, it is. Let's address these roles. And I'm going to read. And then we're going to go. So we're trying to do what? Crucify the sin nature. We have a sin nature. The sin nature is different in us. We both rebelled, but the sin nature is different. Okay, what I rebelled was independence. He rebelled with passivity. The curse addressed the gender sin nature. And the rose is going to address the gender sin nature. Does that make sense? Is that making sense in your head or no? Is it going shh? Okay, let's go. Ephesians 5 then. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. This is already there. Who is submitting to one another in the fear of God? Everybody. 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 I submit to you. I submit to you. I submit to you. I submit to you. Everybody submitting. That's what the word is saying. Wives, submit to your own husbands as the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, this is the wives. Two verses, three. Now, let's talk about the, how many verses is he talking about the guys? I love this. Thank you, Jesus. Husbands, love your
more
wives. Yes. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Well, we are one. So he's loving me as his own body. We're one. We're one. We're not going out without one another. As their own body, okay, as he loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. There you go. This is the same word. We're members of his flesh and his bones, right? This is the same word that Adam told Eve when he saw her. Bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. The same word is here. That's why us and Jesus, this is very important. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one. One. Restoration of the God's original plan. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you, in particular, to love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. First rows there, boom, a lot to swallow. We're going to break it down later. And then I'm going to read the other one on 1 Peter 3. We're going to give it all at the same time, so then we're going to digest later. Let's see. Are you okay so far? You're doing good? Okay. Now, wives, here we go again. Likewise, be submissive. The likewise in the Greek, because he was talking about being submissive before. This is not starting here. This is before he was addressing the being submissive. Now, likewise in the Greek, the word is hupotasso. Hupotasso. Likewise, hupotasso to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they oversee your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, by respect, do not let, by fear is a respect word in here, okay? The fear of the Lord is respect of the Lord. I fear my God, I respect him. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. It's not saying here, Peter is not saying you can't wear your jewelry, we can't do your hair. This is not what this is talking about, because I remember when I became saved that I was reading this, I said, oh God, I love so much to wear a little earring once in a while. He said, you can go ahead.
Not once in a while.
No, not once in a while. But this is not what makes us beautiful. What makes us beautiful is our inner person. This is what the beauty is. You can dress up and look good. You want to look good for your husband? Yes! But what makes you more beautiful is the inner person. That's what this is saying. A quiet and gentle spirit. I'm not quiet. Gentle. I am very passionate. And I can drive you crazy with this passion that I have. Oh, Lord.
After three shots today.
After three shots, get me going. But a gentle and quiet spirit is what you do. Don't let it aggravate him. And don't let what he does aggravate you. That's from the original. We didn't bring all the original here, but we have in another lesson. But today we have to go a little faster. So this is what it means. Don't aggravate. Quiet and gentle. That's what that means. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husband. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Not supposed to be afraid or in fear. Did Sarah speak to Abraham? Yes. Was it okay? Did the Lord say, Abraham, listen to your wife? Yes, he did. He said, Abraham, listen to what she's saying. So it's about one listening to the other. Yes. Now let's go to the husband. Husbands, likewise. In the Greek, when you use the word likewise, it means the same thing that was mentioned before, you also do it. The hupotasso is in here. In the other one, in the Ephesians, he says, all be submissive to one another. Here, the hupotasso is implied. That's what it means. Do well with them in understanding, with understanding. They have to understand us. That's what he's saying. Giving honor to the wife. Is honor only supposed for the wife to give to the husband? No, he's just saying here, you honor your wife. Husbands need to honor their wives as to the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Woo, this is a lot. Both need to submit to one another in the fear of God. Submit to one another was there in the fear of Christ. Submission, guys, is an attitude of our heart. I'm submissive to him. I honor him. I don't want to be above him. The moment I want to be over him and rule, I break the unity. The moment I break the unity, Satan is in. He is the divider. Satan is in, and now he's there, I'm here. But we're supposed to be one. Now, okay, division, here I come. He's going to harass us. He's going to harass our kids. There's no blessing at work. There's no blessing at church. There's no blessing when I'm doing this. There's no blessing. There's sickness in their house. There's lack in the house. What is happening, God? You're not preserving the unity. Okay.
Yes. And in submissions, most of the time doesn't happen naturally. You know, we need to fight for that. Yeah. So when we submit to one another, we crucify our sin nature. We honor each other and we meet our spouse's need. So if you are doing that, you are submitting to one another. That is why the instruction given to each one is different, because it deals with their gender, sin nature, and the gender needs. So what the woman needs, what the man needs. One is not to dominate or lord over the other. Both need to do what is important to the other. So what is important for her? That's what I'm going to be doing. What's important for me? That's what she's going to be doing. Because we are together, we are one, and we need to be pleasing one another. You're back.
Are you done? Okay. Because now I'm addressing the ladies. We're going to go first, girls. Are you ready? Come on. Holy Spirit, just speak to us. Open our minds and then soften any resistance in our hearts in the name of Jesus. And then get the men good after more. I'll get the girls good now. Okay.
Don't say that. They're going to leave.
They're going to leave. Okay. So let's talk about the ladies first. So the number one need of every husband is what? Honor and respect. That's the number one need. Honor and respect. So God instructed us to submit to our husbands by honoring and respecting them. Make sense? How do we do that? Very simple. It's so simple. When God revealed this to me, it changed our life. It changed our marriage. It's just, wow. By not being independent. By not being and acting on my own. I'm not going to do that. Okay, how about checking with your husband before making the decisions? It's not communicating to them your decision. What about asking them before? Bringing the husband in the loop. Is that how you say it? Into the loop. What about bringing them into the loop? I know the husbands, I say, thank you, Lord, speak more, speak more. Okay, when do we do that? We submit to them, which is what we need to do because we have to submit. We crucify the sin nature, which we have to do all the time. We meet their need, and that changes their behavior. When I submit, I crucify my sin nature, and I meet his need, it opens his heart and it changes his behavior. Do you get it? This is easy. This is it. A woman will never change the man's behavior by yelling, by nagging, by being mean, by saying 1,000 times, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. I hate, you can't, what about? I'll never change him like that. I'll change him by submitting, crucifying my sin nature, bringing him into the loop, asking him, what do you think? This is it. Men are motivated by encouragement and respect. So we need to support them. We need to encourage them. That will open their heart and make them change. Does that make sense? It's that simple. If your husband is doing something wrong, you have all right to say, no, amor, this is not right. We shouldn't be doing this. What about this? You have to, because we are accountable to one another. So the other day he mentioned there about our daughter, that she wasn't anything bad that he did, amor. He addressed her something that she did wrong, but we had Thanksgiving and we had 16 people at the table. And he addressed in a good tone, but she felt embarrassed. And he didn't even notice that embarrassed her, what he said. She put all the pop in the freezer. And he said, take the pop out of the freezer before it explodes. Was the Christian, you know, those Christians, champagne,
fruit.
The sparkling juice, fruit juices there. So it was all in the freezer. He said, take them out because they will explode. They're already chilled. And she didn't. Well, by the time we went to go get it, everything was exploded in the freezer. Imagine the mess in the freezer. Everywhere, the pieces of glass. And he said, well, did you do what I told you at the time I told you? Just like that. And she felt so embarrassed. But he didn't notice that she was embarrassed. He was actually laughing. And I came to him later and said, Amor, you really embarrassed her. No, I didn't. Oh, that wasn't because his heart, he wasn't seeing. He didn't do with a bad attitude. It wasn't like that. So for him, he didn't do anything wrong because he didn't feel like, I want to do this for you. No, but it offended her. And I said, Amor, come here. Why don't you go talk to her? Said, think now? I said, yeah, do now. Even though Lucas is here, that's fine. He went and talked to Lucas. There you go. So when your husband is doing something wrong, you have all the right to say, but it's the way you say. You're both equal. One is not better than the other. This was never God's plan. Never, ever, ever, ever. Look at the beginning. Right? So what has to happen here is the way you say it, is the tone that you use. The tone makes it. If I say, Amor, wow, what did you do? Didn't you see embarrassed? This is awful. Can't you do better?
Wow.
It's like, what?
No,
what?
I can't.
He was going to just come mad. He was going to just come mad at me. And like, what are you talking about? And then we're going to start in Thanksgiving. We'd be speaking in Portuguese. Nobody's understanding. But they knew where they'd be. Do you get it, girls? Do you get it, girls? Yeah. Independence is not God's way for us. It will break the unity and it will make things really bad. Amor, you gotta go.
Let's go, guys. Now it's our turn, yeah?
Yes.
So, man, is your wife free to walk up to you and talk about anything? Are they? They need to, okay? Or she's afraid that she's afraid to come and talk to you because you're going to explode. That was my case before. Whatever you come to talk, I'll explode. My answer always is going to be no before anything else. Now, I will be addressing you guys. So Paul said, submit to one another in the fear of God. So how does submitting to our wives look like? Let's see. Your wife, number one need is security. That's what they need. No submitting for us. That's not our problem. But for them, needs to address our sin nature and met our wife's need to feel secure. That's what they need to feel. That they feel secure, we are fine. All right? So God's first role to the husband is to be head of the wife, like Jesus is the head of the church. This means we need to treat our wives like Jesus treats the church. Our responsibility is way greater than theirs. Because you're the head. And some men, many times the guy thinks, I'm the head, I'm the boss. It doesn't say like that. Because Jesus was a servant of all, wasn't he? And if he's our example, guess what? We are going to be the ones. And sometimes whenever you're touching about this, the woman should be submissive to the husband, say, you don't know my husband. They will close right there. Many, many times you're talking about this and the lady will come in the end and say, you don't know my husband. And you're saying, for me to submit to him? I will not. Because why? Because they are hurt. Because he's the boss. And that doesn't work. So God's first role for the husband is to be the head of the wife, like Jesus is the head of the church. This means we need to treat our wife like Jesus treats the church. Our responsibility is very greater than theirs. As the head, how does Jesus treat the church? Let's see. He loves her. He sacrificed for her. Isn't that what Jesus did? He serves her. He said, I came to serve and not to be served. And that needs to be us. He cleans her. He sacrifices for her. He protects her. That's what everything that Jesus does for his church. And we, as husband, need to follow him, and that's what we need to be doing. So when we do this, you're going to see that the thing is going to flow. Your wife is going to be more open. Okay? So we crucify our sin nature and meet their needs that opens their heart and change their behavior when we do those things. You know, they say, oh, he loves me. He protects me. He takes care of me. So it's going to be much easier. If you don't want, if you want the Lord to lord your wife, we'll close her heart. Whenever you come and hard on her and tell her what to do, they don't want to have anything with you. They're not going to listen to you. Because if they do, they're just going to be obeying. That's not going to be just in love that they're going to be doing that. Okay, quote by Vladimir Savchuk. Savchuk, if there's anybody from Russia. Probably I'm reading wrong. There is no room for dominating, ruling, controlling, or suppressing a daughter of God in a godly marriage. Yeah. As a servant leader, you should serve your spouse and protect your family. Raising your voice is not acceptable in marriage. Oops. Usually, when men raise their voices, it is because they have already lost an argument. It is better to improve your argument than to raise your voice. Ouch. Yeah. So a godly husband is a builder of his family, not a bully. So we need to build our families. Amen.
So the roles presented so far is making one be attractive to the other. When I submit and I crush my sin nature and I am not independent, I'm being attracted. He's attracted to me. I'm making myself attractive. Does that make sense? When he submits to me, by what? By protecting me, by serving me, by helping me in everything that he does, sanctifying me, sacrificing for me. What does that do? Makes him attractive to me. I'm attracted to him. When we stay in our roles, one is attracted to the other. We crucify the sin nature and one is attractive to the other. God tells the independent woman what? Submit your husband like you would to Jesus. He's not better than you, that's right. But you need his input. You need his ideas. So submit your ideas to him because if you don't, most likely you're going to make a bad decision. This is so good. Look at Eve. If she had asked Adam, he would not have told her, go ahead and eat the fruit. But she didn't. She acted independent of him. As you, all of you need to know that when we submit, ladies, God is in control. God is upholding the unity in us. The blessing is flowing down. And our children are going to experience what? The blessings of the Lord. They're going to learn when they marry how to have a godly marriage. This is very important. The moment we do this, we do those things. I want you to remember always this order here. The moment I say, honey, what do you think about this? I'm having an idea here, but I want your input. Then my vision is different than his vision. We talked about this yesterday. Put everything on the table. I'm seeing this. Oh, I'm seeing this. What are we going to decide together? So decision is done together. We decide together. I'm happy. He's happy. So I submit it. I crucified my sin nature. I met his need. I obeyed God. And what? Behaviors got changed. Hearts were open to one another. He's open for me. I'm open for him. It's that simple. So when I learned this, what did I do? Every time I have an idea, my thing, okay, let me just go and do it. No. Back off. Back off. Back up. Call him. I was thinking about this. What do you think? Give him time to think. Can we talk about when you get home? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's it. So then I'm already coming under. I'm coming under you. We're going to walk on this together. We're going to decide together and do it together. That's the submitting. All right, Amor.
And so what God tells to the passive man that we just read on those verse, on the verse there, take care of your wife, sacrifice yourself for her, love her, serve her, protect her, help her. So when we do this, we crucified our sin nature. Yes. Meet their need, and that opens their heart. So for us too, guys, we are not supposed to be just making decisions and just communicating to them. So you don't want to do them to do that. So you shouldn't be doing that. Yes, because of what? We are one now. Mm-hmm. If we make a dumb decision, guess who is going to be paying for it? Mm-hmm. It's not going to be you alone.
Yeah.
Now, we are going to be paying. Mm-hmm. So we better talk and make the decision together, because if something happened, mm-hmm. we are together, we made a decision together.
Yes. So in marriage, we need to say, I'm not okay until you are okay. He tells me, I'm not okay until you are okay. This is it. Can you tell your spouse that I'm not okay until you are okay? It doesn't matter what I need, but what you need. It doesn't matter what I need, but what you need. Wow, this is so good. Dominance and control from either husband or wife is not God's plan for marriage. It was never from the beginning. Dominance and control breaks the unity, brings fear and intimidation, violates the main principle of unity. God wants you to honor one another, decide together, and live as one since the beginning.
Mm-hmm. And today, guys, in our society, women fought to be equal.
Yeah.
You know, actually, in our days, they are fighting to be more than the men. Yeah. And the new generation that it's coming, they're kind of lost with seeing this whole thing. You know, so we need to bring back the word of God, bring God's word here and the God way to do a marriage.
Yes.
So now they wanted to be above men. That's what women want. Men want their wives to be, to have a job and help financially. But when at home, they don't want to help with the house chores. You know, they're working and they need to work today. We cannot just live in one salary anymore here in Canada.
Right.
I think in anywhere in the world, both of us need to be working. You know, but sometimes before we just the man was providing for the house and the woman stay in the house. So it wasn't okay for the guy to come and just, you know, because having three or four kids, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know, so whenever you get home, we need to help them
yes,
too.
Yes.
And sometimes some guys, they don't want. Okay, they get home and they just put their foot on the couch and just going to be watching TV. And honey, bring me. And so we shouldn't be doing like that. So they don't want to help in that house chores. They just want to be served. Many couples have separate bank accounts.
Wow.
Ouch. We deal with a lot of people like that, guys. But we are one now. You know, everybody has their own money that we, in a budget that we can spend, but our bank accounts are together. And we see like some people say, oh, I'll pay this and she'll pay that and whatever we have left over, we do whatever you want.
No.
So that's wrong. So what is that? To be independent. When we got married, we are not independent anymore.
Right.
We are one. So everything is there. It's one. You know, whenever I do the budget, sometimes I do the budget, I'll send to her. So she will see the budget and that's what we have, guys. That's what we have. That's what we expand. You know, so we need to do this. So don't have separate account because of that. So you don't want to have an independent life. The day you married, you lost your independence. You don't forget that. God's perfect design for marriage since the beginning was to husband and wife together to be one.
Yes.
And that they will enjoy each other's friendship and equal partnership.
Yes.
So God made these guys for us to enjoy. It's not just to punish us. But some people live like that.
Wow.
You know, that's my punishment. That's God gave. So it's not.
Wow.
That's a lie from the devil. It's because there's something happened in their lives when they are saying this that took them to that place that they don't enjoy life with them anymore. But in the beginning, you did. I thought you're not anymore because you're not working your marriage. So when we do that, it pleases God and blessings the flow when we walk in unity. When we have everything together, when we share life together. Amen?
How is our time going, Pastor?
We have quarter to 11.
Should we do the questions now or should we break now? It's up to you. You can break.
How long are the questions?
Probably will take 7 minutes.
7 minutes? Wow.
If I say 10, you think, no, she's lying. If I say 5, so go for 7. Let's eat. Okay, let's eat. Let's break then, and then we're going to have an activity as soon as we come back. All right? So, Lord, help us, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And this can be because of our past, the way that things that happen in us, and we are hurt because of that. So we need some inner healing on that. But whenever you're sitting and talking about those things, just make sure that you guys are open. Nobody's trying to attack. Okay, we are trying to identify problems that you have, and you want to fix those problems so your marriage gets better, that you can walk in unity. So whenever the other one is saying, listen to them.
Yes.
Give value for what they are saying.
Yeah.
You know, and if it is, okay, if you are not recognizing that time, just ask the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to think about this. Can you forgive me because I made you feel like that? Like, for I didn't want to do what I was doing, but I need to ask forgiveness because that's the way she was feeling. And that's real for them. When they have an emotion, it's real for them. For guys, we are kind of tougher. We are okay. You just swallow and keep on moving. But sometimes, no, we need to talk about the problem. And
all the time. Very good. We're going to address. So today, maybe, I don't know, whatever you wrote there, it's going to make sense with this lesson, okay? It's going to open your mind to understand what should be happening in those answers there. What should be happening in those questions? We're going to give it to you here, how it's supposed to be done. We're going to talk a little bit more still at the end of this lesson here. We're going to talk a little bit more. Awesome.
So you're going to be looking at specific biblical roles for the husband and the wife, what the Bible talks about, what the Bible is teaching. Some of those things probably you are doing right already. Because you are reading the Bible and say, okay, that's the way you do it. And because of the modeling that we have from our family, some of those things are in order. We don't have a problem. But some other ones, maybe we do have a problem. Okay, so let's start with the men. Guys, it's our turn now. Five roles a godly husband. A husband is a servant leader. We talk about this on the just before the break, but let's see those two verses that I have here. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. So there is a hierarchy, an order here. So God, Jesus, over us, and now we are over men. So, but whatever Jesus did, that he's our example, we are going to be doing to our wives. He's not asking us, oh, just rule them. That's not what he's saying, that we need to be examples to them. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus came to serve. And we, as his followers, being Christians, we are going to be serving too. Serving our wives, serving our kids, serving the church, serving people. That's what Jesus told us to do. So the husband follows the example of Jesus. When the head serves, it teaches the rest of the body to serve too. So when your wife seeing that you're serving and your kids are seeing that you're saving, what do you think they're going to do it? They're going to serve. That's going to be something natural on them. So when we serve our wives, it makes easier for them to submit to us. Yes, it makes much easier. Number two, a husband is a labor provider. That was one thing that God told us to do. Genesis 2:15, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. So that was a work. God put him there and said, you're going to work in the garden. There wasn't a curse on that time, and he was just enjoying what he was doing. But after that, turned to a curse because there was sin. And that's what sin does. John 5:17, but Jesus replied, my Father is always working, and so I am. So God is not just sitting on the throne and just looking at us, yeah, okay, and sending blessings. No, it's not. He's working. You know, and when Jesus was here on earth, he was working. Okay, so we guys, we men, we are the ones laboring, providing for our families. And I know that society today is so different that women need to work too. So, but that's being one. That's what it is. Number three, a husband is loyal and faithful. Opa, Matthew 5:28. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So before Jesus came and said this, if you just go and commit adultery with the woman, that was adultery. But before, now Jesus took the bar higher. If you just look to the person, with desiring the person, with impure eyes, you commit adultery already. All right? A lot of Christians, men, are unfaithful to their wives by lusting for another woman. They're seeing a woman passing by and they're giving the look, you know, and checking out, viewing pornography. Guys, if you see the statistic, there's a lot of pornography inside of the church. You know, and today it's so easier for us to get pornography if you want to do it. Because with the phones everywhere, you can be in church and watching pornography. And we see this happening. So we need to be careful with this. So, because when you are doing this, you are lusting. So you are committing adultery. Here are some keys to staying loyal to your wife. Stop allowing flirting to happen to you. So you need to be aware of those things. You know, because sometimes people will be passing in front of you, provoking you, and you need to be aware of those things. The grass is not greener on the other side. This is a lie. The grass is greener where you water and take care.
Wow.
Okay, oh, their marriage is much better. No, why your marriage cannot be better than theirs? What? You just need to take care of that. You know, so that's a lie of the enemy. Don't hang out alone with the opposite sex. That's a big one in your workplace. Sometimes there are some girls there that wants to talk to you and you're going to be alone. Don't be alone. Wow. You know you're going to be talking to everybody else.
That's good.
Yeah, sometimes even in the church, somebody comes to talk to me. Oh, more, can you come? Yeah. And we'll talk together. We don't want to have any opening. You know, you're not going to be playing with the devil.
Right.
All right? Avoid talking about your personal life with the opposite sex.
Wow.
Don't tell problems that you are having at home sometimes with your a friend that works with you. Don't do that. You know? So you shouldn't be open those kind of door.
Can I say something more here? Just like, even if a woman in your work comes and you are a man and she's sharing with you her struggles with her husband, don't listen. Just say, now can you call so-and-so? Tell somebody from the church to help. I'm not the person for you to help you in this. I'm going to give you somebody. Get a guy from the church, a girl from the church, and then connect them.
Yeah.
But don't listen, because it creates intimacy. You can open an emotional affair there. It's very dangerous, guys. So just cut it off right there.
Yeah, we just had a couple that we were counseling in our small group, and they had this problem. They were separated for 5 years. Because of an affair. It wasn't a sexual affair, but it was just because of this. They create that attachment. My sister and my ex-brother-in-law, they got divorced because of this. He was a nurse on this company, and this girl will come with a problem and start sitting and talk to him. And he was a Christian. He's trying to counsel her because she wasn't a Christian. What happened? Do you know they start having an affair?
Yeah.
Today, they are divorced.
Wow.
So don't play with those things. So that would be called emotional affair. Even that the person, like this couple that we had, they didn't have any sexual relationship, there was an affair, emotional affair. Keep the fire in your own fireplace. Don't go taking coals around or, you know, keep in your house. It's you and your wife. Number four, as a husband is a learner. What that is? Let's see 1 Peter 3:7. Husband, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. Understanding that you need to learn our wives. We need to understand them. You know, when you're learning a subject, that you need to understand that whole thing, that's what we need to do with our wife. You know, to learn. Giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So, if you don't want your prayer to be hindered, that's what we need to do. Give them honor, respect them as a weaker vessel. A quote from Dr. Tony Evans. The Bible says the wife is the weaker vessel, not the weak vessel. If it said the wife is the weak vessel, it means that the man would be the strong vessel. The verse means that the man is weak, but the wife is weaker. Weaker is which regard? The word is not weaker in the sense of less than, but word weaker there has to do with the way you handle highly valued material. You don't treat fine china like paper plates because they break easier. The reason you handle fine china and plates carefully is because of how much you value them. A husband should value his wife like fine china. Amen. That's so good.
And the wife said,
Amen. So that's what they need to do, guys. They're not disposables. Okay. Your wife is highly valuable. Handle her with great care. She's that the one that's in your side, that she's the one that's going to spend life with you. So she's very, very valuable. So take care of her. So, and we need to understand, to learn to understand our wives and give them honor. Otherwise, our prayers are hindered. Dwell with understanding means you have to figure her out. And I know that sometimes it's very hard, you know, but it's possible. If you know what bothers her, don't do it. Yeah, they love that, yeah? Yeah, but sometimes we just go, hey, hey, baby. If you know what she likes, then do it. Don't hold back. Just go all the way. Go for it. Do it to them. We have a hard time with this because our brain is totally different. Men's brain and women's brain are completely different, guys. No, for us, we are everything we have in boxes. We can separate everything. But for them, everything touches everything. So, and sometimes that makes us crazy. Men are more logical. Women are more emotional. You know, we are watching a movie, and we are just, yeah, and they're there crying. And you see, okay, you're crying, you know. So they're emotional. Men loves goals. Women loves process. You know, we want to get there. But they know they like to see the views, the color of the trees, the rabbit, the bunny going around. But you know, I just want to go there. For me, that's the way it is. Whenever I'm going to travel, I'm fighting against the GPS. Okay, it's saying that I'm going to get done this time. I'm going to try to get earlier. And can we go to the bathroom? For me, I can go to where we go to Kentucky in 11 hours just in one shot. But no, we need to stop several times. And we do it, and I learn.
Good one.
So men love sex, and every guy said, amen, we do love sex. And women love romance.
That's right. We love sex too, but the romance is even
better.
But the
romance for them is more important. It's important too, but they like the pre-thing, yes. The whole thing that happens before.
Yes.
And we just want to get there. And you know, it doesn't work. It doesn't work for them. Their brain just shut down.
Yep.
Nope. So we need to be careful with that. Okay, so be interested in the process too. When processing things, men want space and women need sensitivity.
Yeah.
So whenever they're going to talk, for us, just leave me alone. I'll figure this out. But for them, you just need to start asking, oh, how did you feel? Wow, is that what she said? Wow, that's probably. So, you know, that's they're going to love it.
That's it.
And
that's
they're going to have sex after that.
There so, you go.
So how
it opens
sensitive.
Our heart.
Yes, it does. When stressed, women become overwhelmed and emotionally involved, while men become focused and withdraw. So they just want to be involved. Like with the kids, something happened, they're going to feel sad and the whole thing. And for us, let me leave me alone. Let me think about this. And that's what we want to do. But for them, it doesn't work. They are there. You know, talking and seeing if everything is okay, everything is in order. It's not us. Women feel better by talking about the problem. And men prefer solving it. So, guys, we don't need to come with a solution.
That's
learned that
right.
In the hard way.
Yes.
You know, we just need to listen to them.
Yes.
Let them vent.
Yep.
You know, because if not, that's what they are looking for, a friend that will listen to them.
Yes.
They're not looking for any problem solving. But we, guys, we just want to solve. Okay, I'm going to go talk to the person. You know, I'm going to go there. And for them, no, I just wanted to hear what I have to say. Because after they talk, they're fine. So we need to understand that. We need to learn our wives. The Bible instructs the men to learn their wives, not the other way around. So it's our responsibility to learn them. Nobody else. It's us. So whatever they are doing that maybe it's upsetting, so what are you doing or what's happening here? So and you need to take in consideration all of the that they are different than us. They don't process the things the way we do. You know that we can be more in our own world, but they need to talk, they need to vent, and we need to be there for them and let them talk. You know, if at the end you ask them, so do you want me to fix this? You know, you can go there and bump the person. Or, no, okay, no, I'm fine now. And most of the time, that's what happened. They're going to be fine because they just want to talk. And if they don't talk with us, guys, they're going to talk to somebody else. Because they need to talk. Yes. That's the way that God designed them. Yes. Remember that she was talking to a snake? If it was me, I was running. You know what? I didn't want to be around that conversation. Yeah, so you're not going to find me to give me the apple. Okay. A husband is a lover. Ephesians 5:25. Husband, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Quote from Pam Farrell. The woman does not know she's loved unless she feels she's loved, and her feeling loved seems to fluctuate on a 24-hour basis. So you need to be telling her, honey, I love you, and make things that shows love to her 24/7. As the Bible says, new every morning is God's mercy. So your reminder has to be for your wife that you love her. The same way that we wake up every morning, that the mercy of God, it's anew every morning. So that's the way we need to do, because apparently they forget. So we need to be reminding them, I love you, and make things that show love and appreciation for them, and that they'll feel good. Five ways to make your wife feel loved. Are you guys familiar with the five love languages? Yeah. Dr. Gary Shampman? Yes. So I'm going to go through them. Quality time. Spend time with her. Engage with her in conversation, not texting or in scrolling at the same time. This is nowadays is very common, that we are talking to a person and the person is just there. And later on says, so do you remember what I told you, that I'm leaving? So how come you're leaving? I told you. So no, you didn't. Say, yes, I did, but you're there on your box, on your phone, and whatever. Do you know? So just make sure that you stopped. You know, one thing that I try to do in our house, I think I share with you guys, whenever you go to the table, because we try to have dinner together, eat together on the table. Because I remember when I was a child, most of the teaching from my parents would happen on the table. You know? So eat with your mouth closed. Or the way it teaches to eat with the knife and fork. And it happens there. And today our kids are just whatever. You know? So we don't have that opportunity to learn with them. To teach them. So I ask, guys, don't bring your cell phones to the table. So we can have, because if not, everybody's on the one road. You know, doing their own stuff. So can we have at least half an hour for us? You know, and that's a good thing for us to have in our families, guys. To teach them, especially you guys that have small little kids, they still have time to teach them. Because when they get on the teenager years, they'll know. All right, so acts of service, do house chores. Most of the men, they don't like to do house chores, okay? So when you do that you show your wife that you love her and care about her. So we don't leave for them to do the whole thing every day that you're expecting that they're going to be. One thing for me that I love, every night that I'm going to go to bed, to have our bed made. You know, I'd like to undo the bed. Take all the pillows or whatever and get inside. You know, and sometimes our life is busy. And I'm the last one that goes down. I'll make sure that everything is ready.
He makes the bed, guys.
I make the bed.
He makes the bed. I make the bed. He makes the bed. It takes what? 2 minutes?
Yeah.
That's it.
5 minutes and everybody is going to be happy. It's a king-size bed, so it takes more time. So compliment her. That's words of affirmation. Every wife wants to feel beautiful for her husband. Yes. You know, that was something that I need to learn, guys. That didn't come natural on me. You know, to appreciate, and whenever she comes down the stairs, just say, wow. You know, wow, you have new clothes. And you know, wow, you look so beautiful with new whatever you have today. You know, just say, oh, what is new today? You know, we need to, because they are waiting.
You are not paying attention.
Yes, what it is. You have that new thing for your hair today. I saw you getting that. So we need to pay attention on them, because for some women, you turn them on doing this. Yeah. Oh, he's noticing me. Yeah. You know, don't come and tell about somebody else that you saw. comment on her that I'm getting better on this. I still struggle. Because that wasn't something natural that I heard in my house, that I saw happen in my house. But that's the way that my wife received love. So I'm going to make sure that I'm going to do this for her. So let her know that she's beautiful. Be more detailed with your words. You know, women love details. When you're saying something, just don't get there to the end of the story without giving her some details. You know, I remember with this, when I was driving her to the job, We used to take my daughter to the school, and after that, I'll go pick her up at the job. And I knew, and I was working on that we need to have more meaningful conversations, and she's going to ask, how is your day? And I would just say, yeah, fine. And done. Our conversation was done. And I started trying to get better on this. And whenever I was driving to pick her up, I'll say, so she's going to ask, how was my day? What am I going to say? You know, I need to give her some details. And she gets in the car and she'll come. Oh, how's your day? Say, wow, that was great. Do you know what? Today I have a meeting with this person and they start just talking more. Do you know what? Do I see this or that? And they love that. They feel appreciated because they want to know about our lives. You know, it's not like my son, I ask my son, oh, how's your day? Good. Oh, how was the meeting? Good. No, with my daughter, she's getting on that age too that said, oh, it was fine. So no, I want to know details. But before, when she was smaller, she would come and just half an hour sing about everything and what happened. So it was cool, but was too long. But now she's too short. And girls, they like to talk, don't they? Buy her gifts or let her buy gifts herself. For
Thank
herself,
you.
They sometimes, yeah. So, and I like it that, you know, at Christmas, we ask for our gifts. That's what I want. So that's what they get for us, what we want. You know, and whatever she wants, oh, you want that, oh, go buy it. And because, you know, sometimes we don't know what they want. And we buy and she goes and refund and gets something else. And that you don't take the chance to feel hurt that you got the wrong thing. Physically touch her without initiating sex. And every lady said, amen. Public display of affection is important, guys. Yes. You know? And that's one thing that I challenge the couples in the church that we don't see too much anymore. But whenever you're going out, you're going to go to a supermarket, whatever you're doing, stuff, hold hands. Yeah. Hold hands. That means a lot because people outside, they don't have this. They're not seeing this. And we being Christians, we need to show them. You know, that she belongs to me, I belong to her, and we always are always looking for the hands to one another, and here we go. You know, so do that. That I want to challenge you guys to do that. And I challenge the couples in the church to do this kind of stuff.
And kiss
because
more.
Kiss more, 6 seconds or more.
No, the kissing, guys, how many times do you kiss your spouse a day? In the lips. You never should say, hi, honey, and go, never. Never, ever, ever, hi, honey. At least that. That's the minimum of the minimum. How many kisses are you kissing daily? Come on. Don't need to answer us. Answer yourself.
Guys, one time I got
in
trouble.
If you are doing only two, one in the morning and one before go to bed, that's too little, guys. How many seconds are they? Once, that was less than a second. This was less than a second. Okay? So, come on. We can do better in that.